Good morning, and happy Mother's Day to all you mothers, and I'm going to give you a moment to stand up here and greet some mothers, say happy Mother's Day, and give one another a hug. Everybody up, smile, greet one another, stretch. It's kind of hot in here anyway, right? Happy Mother's Day. I'm well, thank you. It's good to see you. Okay, if you would have your seat, please. Is it just fun to get to talk to one another for a few moments? It's fun to listen. I imagine my mom right there for just a moment when all the kids would be home, you know, and she would just be chilled in her chair hanging out. And I always thought that it was a big deal that we were hanging out with one another and our conversation wasn't always with her. And I remember thinking that, you know, like, man, we all show up. And when it's just individually, I'm hanging with mom, we talk, we have a good conversation. When everybody's home, we're all just hanging, and I get it now. It's fun just to watch and listen, all of you spend time together. And isn't that a neat thing about mothers? They love us well. I wrote a poem for our mothers today. This is, a little risky here, so don't laugh me to scorn. I am quite the poet, by the way. And I need you to know that I saw you. I thought about you. I'm not saying that this was overly emotional or anything like that, but you mothers here at Sunshine, I thought about you when I was writing this. It's not a Hallmark card version of something that needs to rhyme. I wanted you to know what I think of you and what we think of you and what God thinks of you. It's Mother's Day. What can I say to share how completely you've stolen our hearts away? We're stunned. Forget that emotional part. We're stunned as we watch you laugh and love and play. Happy Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day. What can I do to express how clearly we see Christ in you? He holds and cares and heals through you. Happy Mother's Day to you. It's Mother's Day, a special day for you. And because of who you are, it's special for us too. And we hope you're blessed the whole year through. But today, Happy Mother's Day to you. And that's my poem to all of you. You're wonderful people, wonderful moms, wonderful ladies, wonderful friends. You're wonderful children of God, and I'm thankful for you today. Let's pray, and we'll press on together. Father, thanks for this time. Thanks for who you are, God, and your amazing work through mothers. Father, how you show so many incredible qualities of yourself through the precious ladies in our lives. And Lord, we know some things you know, that there are a lot of mothers here that don't have children of their own, but their moms just the same. Some hoping, some not able, whatever the cause or the case. But Father, you You're way bigger than that. So thank you for all of them today. And pray today that you would remind them they're far from perfect, but they're your precious gift to all of your children. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So thinking about Mother's Day, just wanted you to know that afterwards there will be a presentation for all of the mothers who are here to watch, well, all of us to watch about our mothers. Thank you, Jacob, for that reminder. A mother, in my opinion, and I believe it's deeper than that, my educated opinion, we'll say, is God's first effort of gospeling in a child's life. I believe that. A mother is God's first effort of gospeling in a child's life. That's where we find our first grace, mercy, the good news that there's something bigger than all of this, that there is rescue and there is hope and there is forgiveness and there is freedom. In God, it begins with mama. Mothers truly live out the depth and the beauty of Jesus' love so often. Patrick Josh on Twitter, tweeted this morning, God pardons like a mother who kisses the offense into everlasting forgiveness. That quote is from Henry Ward Beecher. And isn't that true? I mean, we sense God's strength and God's grace in so many mothers. Paul wrote the wonderful passage that we hear at so many weddings in 1 Corinthians 13. It was our scripture reading. If I speak in tongues of men or angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains but have not or do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to the poor or give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. And then the powerful part of this scripture. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And you see Jesus, Paul pressing these words on us from the life of Jesus, and you see Jesus pressing it out into our lives through mothers. And the very character of God, don't we experience that through our moms? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So many wonderful, wonderful characters of God, characteristics of God in our mothers. And then there is the image of Jesus praying over Jerusalem when he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stoned the prophets and killed those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing." You see Jesus wanting the family together, looking out for, loving, chasing them to soccer games, chasing them to events at school, to the play, to the drama, to whatever, to the church ice cream social or the youth group thing. "I'm trying to gather you. We want to get somewhere here." And there's the beauty of mothers. I am confident that if moms became convinced that every starving homeless person was somebody's precious child, world hunger and homelessness would be solved quickly. I need to say that again. I wrote that down. I didn't mean for it to be so wordy. I'm confident that if moms became convinced that every starving and homeless person was some mother's precious child, and they are, world hunger and homelessness would be eradicated quickly. That's just how moms do things. They settle it. They deal with it. "This is my kid. This is my girl. This is my boy. And it matters to me." Well, this morning, I want to parade before you a few moms in Scripture, and we'll measure ourselves by them for a few minutes. And like all moms love to do on Mother's Day, let's parade in some wonderful scriptural mother and have her stand up here in all her beauty and fineness. and see how we measure up. So let's talk about Hannah for a few minutes. Hannah in the Old Testament, wife of Elkanah, has another wife, Peniel. I got her name mixed up here, just like that. Anyway, she had children, and Hannah does not, and she's really distressed about it. And so she prays to God, if you will give me a child, I will give him back to you in service at the temple. And a year later, she shows up at the temple, blessed with a child, and she gives him back to the Lord. And so we say always, I mean, that's pretty awesome, right? And we always say, that's what we want to do. When mothers, they raise up their children and they give them back to the Lord. And I know missionaries all over the world saying it's difficult to go into all the world anymore because no moms want to give their children back to the Lord. They want them to stay close. And so we use Hannah to say, man, we give our children back to the Lord. And how about Rachel? I mean, we really like, not Rachel, Rebecca. We really like Rebecca, right? Isaac and Rebecca, Jacob. And Esau, out of them become the 12 tribes of Israel. Their children are named after. And what a wonderful, wonderful mother she must have been. And wouldn't it be awesome if we were those who God raised up our children and they changed the world, right? If from our line, everything in the world was changed. We were such parents that could happen. Or Elizabeth. I mean, Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mom. John the Baptist was the preparer for the way of Jesus. Man, think about that one for a little bit. Maybe we could raise up a child or children who would go into all the world and they would prepare the way for the message of Jesus for everyone. It's not too much pressure yet, right, moms? Or Mary, the very mother of Jesus himself, the Savior of the world. She must have been a really good mom. The influence that she would have had, the way that she would have taught him and loved him. I mean, there's so much in him that is so right and good. The way he cared about men and women, the way he brought equality. The women were no longer just kind of afterthoughts in the world, but they were very important. Or Rufus's mother, who has no name. She has a name, I assume, but it wasn't given to us. In Romans chapter 16, verse 13, Paul is greeting folks, and he says, and greet Rufus's mother, who's also a mother to me. Isn't that cool? I mean, that's really neat. What if we could be a mom like that? I mean, influence Paul. He wrote so much of the New Testament. Come on, moms. You could do something here. And then Timothy's grandmother and mother, as Paul tells him to fan into flame this gift, right? I know where it came from, this faith. It came from your mother and your grandmother. And Timothy, man, he's teaching and serving and being so useful in the kingdom in the New Testament. And wouldn't that be awesome if we could be like them, moms? And so we parade through here this list of super moms, incredible moms who raised incredible men to be incredible warriors for God, if you will, the Son of God himself. I mean, do you ever feel so powerful like that, that you were able to train and nurture and bring this wonderful character out in this person that's going to change the entire world? Perfect mothers raising perfect children. It doesn't really work like that, does it? It doesn't really work like that. Because so often, as I look at my mother and I look at my wife, as I watch folks raising, or people close to me raising kids, a lot of time is caught or taken with, man, I hope I did that right. I hope her friends love her. Man, I just want her to fit in. I want her to have nice clothes. I just hope that he can play well enough that he doesn't embarrass himself. It's not about me. I know the whole world is chasing after that and they're living through their kids, but I just want my child to fit and be comfortable and safe in their own skin. Isn't that where we live? Why did I say that? Why did I lose my temper? I am the worst mother in the world. Kendall was not very old. I mean, maybe a year and a half, and Chris and I were sitting at the bar in our house and eating lunch, and we'd put her to bed, and she was able to not be in the crib all the time. She's laying on our bed, and we were congratulating ourselves on what great parents we were. I mean, you know, we've got her to a year and a half, man. This is big stuff. And so we're eating lunch and going, I think we're pretty good parents. Thump in the room. We're like, what? And we run in and she's laying in the floor. And we're like, oh, yeah. Yes, so much for the Mom of the Year Award. That's where we live. Isn't that the truth? So often, man, we want the good stuff. We dream of what those women must have been like. And we really want to be them. But maybe we ought to look at them again. Partially joking, partially for real. How about Hannah? I mean, what mom in her right mind takes a child and gives him over to a bunch of men to raise when he's still little? Come on, this lady couldn't have been that perfect, right? Samuel's a little baby boy, and she just gives him away. Which of you mothers have done that? Just left church and decided, I'm never coming back to get you? I mean, I know you want to, but how many of you do that? I mean, I've sat at the back door and someone will say, I'm looking for him. I'm like, well, run. What are you doing here? They'll show up at our house sometime. We'll tell them you're over here looking for him. We could get a couple of days in like that. But no, you don't. You love your children and you raise them. And of course we know Hannah's story. And what about Rebecca? Has any mother ever taught a son, Jacob, to be more deceiving, deceitful, dishonest, competitive than Rebecca with her son, Jacob? Right? Jacob and Esau, you know the story, the birthright, the all that he was supposed to be given in his inheritance, and his mother persuades him to deceive and trick. And I mean, come on, the Lord did something good here, but she really wasn't all that, right? And then there's Elizabeth. I mean, have you ever thought about John the Baptist for a little bit? What did it say about him? He's in the desert by himself. He wears what's he wearing? Camel hair. He eats locusts and wild. He's eating locusts and wild honey. What did this mom raise him on anyway? Elizabeth, I don't know what she's thinking. She's like one of those organic ladies, and maybe he's always hiking in the mountains or something. I don't know. But I mean, he's wearing this stuff. He's different. He's odd. We understand the point. And then there's Mary, who, when Jesus is 12, forgets him in the temple, goes a full day's journey before they realize that he's not with them, looks for a couple of days, 3 days. Jesus doesn't have his parents because they just forgot him. They thought he was with the grandparents. I don't know. We know through Scripture God was doing something in all of these stories. Imperfect people, struggling people, wrestling folks, but God building a beautiful story. And I feel the need to go back and explain Hannah's story and Rebecca's story and Elizabeth's story with John the Baptist. Of course we know some of this is tongue-in-cheek. We're just joking, but we get the point very well. They were not perfect, right? They were tools of a perfect and amazing God. When my dad passed away, I was doing blessed to get to do the eulogy, the sermon at his funeral. I didn't really have any choice. He made it clear on that before he died, of course. And in the funeral, I was wrestling because leading up to it, after my dad had passed, and you've heard this before, I apologize, but after he had passed, this presence that my dad always was seemed to still be with me. I mean, the character, the depth of who he was, it didn't seem to go away. And then it struck me, I said, that my dad was simply a puppet, God's tool. And it's as if he just said, hi, I'm Jamie's dad. And then he just took the puppet off and said, no, it was me all the time. God using my servant to love you and lead you. And last year at my mom's passing, I was given the fullness of the vision. That when my mom passed, God revealed to me his other hand as he took her off and said, look, Jane, it was me all the time. embraced me and hugged me and loved me. And that is the story of you today as well. My mother was not perfect. She was far from it. She was a human being. She was living in this existence. She needed sleep. She needed medicine when she didn't feel well. She got headaches. She got scratched. She broke arms and legs and stuff. She had feelings, and they got hurt sometimes. She wasn't always smooth and great to hang around. But she was God's imperfect vessel as he lived out a perfect love toward me. And so for you mothers this morning who don't feel perfect, who often feel judged as we parade before you these perfect examples of mothers in Scripture, they weren't perfect. They were tools of a God who says he was the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And you are those tools as well. And he's using you to serve and love. So I want you to know that when you blow it, and you're going to blow it, hang on. The story's not done yet. When you feel like you've messed up, and you have, that's okay. You're still living in this life. I talked to my friend Paula Harrington, who is an author and a conference speaker, wonderful Christian lady is more what I would consider her, and a dear friend. And I asked her, I could have asked many of you, but I want to tell you what someone outside of this place thinks. I said, Paula, what would you say to mothers if you had a chance to say something on Mother's Day? And she has, after a difficult childhood, her dad died, I think age 12, with ALS. Her mom ended up in addiction and dying when she was like 18. Paula wrestled a lot in life. Children, divorce, homelessness. I mean, real struggles. Remarried to a godly man. They have 6 kids. And they're taking care of a child from the school that she works in for a while till their family gets on there. She's a great lady, like many of you. What would you tell mothers today if you could say anything to them? And she said, I just thought that love would be automatic. But sometimes it's not. When they're little and cute, it seems so natural. But sometimes it gets really hard. And it's not easy when a kid gets tough to love. Well, that's okay. She says, but you make a decision in God, and you don't give up and walk away like so many mothers are doing. You don't give up and walk away. Husbands aren't always what they should be. Children are not always what they should be. But God is holding this thing together, and he'll bring it through. She said, we are not like the world, though sometimes we really want to be like the world. She said, it's a struggle. And then she said a couple of last thoughts. Forgive your mother for her shortcomings and cut her some slack. And then do the same for yourself. Nobody's perfect, and God will see this through. Now, a couple of thoughts to you, because this story is so true, right? And this is where we live. Same for you. Cut yourself some slack. And to the mother who is not a mother, for many are childless and yet have been the mothers, as Paul says to Rufus's mother, and a mother to me as well. When my dad passed away, I remember Dick Havens and Harry Woodworth saying, don't worry, man, we got you. We'll take care of you. And I can't tell you how many of you mothers did the same thing without words. My wife's grandma, my grandma-in-law, will call me still today and just tell me they're people who you need to visit, and she'll let me know who they are, and I go visit. And Esther Crisp will let me know who I need to visit, just like my mother. Not because they're trying to make me do my job better, but because they love me. And there's something in them that really believes that something will be different if I show up. And that's really what my mom thought all the time. Boy, when Jamie shows up, everything's different. And I assure you, that's true. it's not always what she was thinking, though. But so many of you mothers, my neighbor Macy and Irma Lee, how wonderful, and Mary Lee and Debbie, always just patient and loving and kind to me. And I am a lot to deal with. Rick Ashley said on Twitter this morning, "To all who still long to be mothers, may you find joy and comfort today knowing you are loved and beloved daughters of God." I assure you, and this is the other point that Paula wanted me to share, or said she would share, was there are some mothers who don't have mothers or who don't have children, though they so long to have children. And you may never have children that you specifically could call your own, but you have been mother to so many children. I remember when Kendall was really little, driving to lunch, and we got to Gamps, turning right on 140, and Kendall was in the background, just tiny, in Ellen's class, singing, "I love my mommy, I love my daddy." She learned it in Ellen's class as she mothered her, right? And Ellen taught my wife, and she taught so many of you, and there's so many mothers just like that. So, a couple of thoughts, and I'm going to close this thing. God is not finished yet. Philippians 1, 3 through 6, Paul says, "I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." And here's how this applies to you mothers. The story that Paul is talking about is the grace of God continuing to do his work until the revealing of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that that grace of God is lived out in mothers every day. As you love and honor God with the love you show, people see a love. It's not just your children, but everybody sees a love from you that is holy and purely Jesus' love. It is God's love. It is grace. It is beauty. And that's what you share. But I know you don't always feel that way. And I know that you feel struggling and wrestling, and that sometimes it'd be better if you weren't even in the picture, but it's so not true. So here's what we need to do for one another, okay? Because I'm on the other side. I'm a dad. And I'm so unfit to be a dad. But what if we started walking this thing together? What if we just kind of accepted what we know to be true, but on Mother's Day we forget to say it, that we're all just struggling along. We're all stumbling and messing up and trying to do it right. But in God, if we hang with him, he's not going to let us mess it up. And so if as a family here at Sunshine, we just start encouraging and blessing one another as mothers and fathers and children of God, wouldn't it be powerful? Wouldn't it be wonderful? And I think we could do that well. So this morning, mothers, cut yourself some slack. He never expected perfection. He just expected tools, and that's what he got in all of you. And wonderful, wonderful tools you are. It's Mother's Day. What can I say to share how completely you've stolen our hearts away? We're stunned as we watch you laugh and love and play. Happy Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day. What can we do to express how clearly we see Christ in you? He holds and cares and heals through you. Happy Mother's Day to you. It's Mother's Day, a special day for you, and because of who you are, it's special for us too. And we hope you're blessed the whole year through, but for today, happy Mother's Day to you. Let's pray together. Father, I'm so thankful for this day. I'm so thankful for this time. And I confess that I know that my words are so inadequate. I know, God, that your spirit is here, and I know you're reminding mothers all over this building of the great truth of your love and purpose and usefulness in them. God, I pray today for great blessing for them, and I pray that you show them and remind them of great victories, times, God, that you have used them well. God, I pray that where they've struggled or where we all struggle, that you remind us, God, that you're so good and gracious. And you've made us so resilient in you. Make us strong, God. Life is not lived for us as a biblical text where we just have our great excerpts written down, or our worst. It's not a Twitter feed or a Facebook feed. It's lived out in real life, in real time. when so many heartaches and so many struggles and so many disappointments and so many joys and so many thrills. So God, I pray that we could celebrate the beauty and let the rest be forgiven and healed. What great moms you've given us, God. What incredible, incredible sisters to me in you. And we love you for all of that. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
If you desire to respond in any way, if you're not a child of God,
our elders will be on either side of the auditorium this morning, like always, and they would love to immerse you into your new life in Jesus. Or if you struggle or have anything that you want them to be praying about, they'd be thrilled to pray with you as well. Whatever